Ladies and gentlemen, from Knott's Berry Farm in Buena Park, California, we bring you An Evening with Barry Goldwater. And now here is your master of ceremonies for the great rally, John Wayne.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you for joining us in this evening with Barry Goldwater. This is a day of memories. This is a day on which we pay homage to the great souls of America, the men and women who fought and died, and who are fighting and dying today. Let the freedom we cherish may be ours forever. By our presence here, we honor them. By our prayers, we remember them. May our deeds in the days to come speak as loudly as our words. Now Ronald Reagan will lead you in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Ladies and gentlemen, will you repeat? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Ronnie. I suppose a lot of people are wondering why an actor is acting as master of ceremonies at a political rally. Well, there's one good reason. I'm an American citizen and a voter. And I have something I want to say, and I'm going to say it right now. Liberal columnists, both Democratic and Republican, have repeatedly used the big lie in speaking about Senator Goldwater. Because he couldn't agree with an enthusiastic but nevertheless irresponsible civil rights bill, which gives awesome power to the administration out of proportion to the concepts of our Constitution, they have pictured him as against a fair break for the Negro. This is obviously an untruth. Because he is against bills for foreign aid above and beyond our ability as a nation to support, he is suspect of being against all foreign aid. Obviously untrue. I'm sure that a vast majority of you people have been forced by the living pace of our country, as I have, to neglect reviewing the events and leadership of the past few years. Let's take a second to do that. After the First World War, people the world over were needy and hungry. Without great fanfare or desire of our leaders to be praised to the high heavens, through Mr. Hoover, the American people gave that others might eat, be clothed, and return to a place in peacetime living. After the Second World War, there was the same need, but this time we gave to the political parties in control of other nations, rather than to the people of the nations in need. By so doing, we have built up a great industry in foreign countries. We have given them our know-how for building new plants, and you paid for these plants. They require less labor than ours, even though their labor costs cheaper. They compete with us in our basic industries. Take steel. Germany and England can undersell us so easily that our economy is dangerously affected by man hours and dollars lost. Since 1946, the American people have given over $124 billion to relieve the world chaos. But whether or not our leadership used this money with proper responsibility and clear insight will be proven in the next few years. We pray that in our enthusiasm to help the world, we've not killed the goose that laid the golden egg. These billions and billions and billions of dollars were freely and charitably given by the American people at the sacrifice of our own poor and needy, the sacrifice of schooling for our own children, the sacrifice of city, county, and state, as well as national improvement of our own country. A sum that could make your country surpass our most idealistic dreams. For that sacrifice, what have we gained? an over-glamorized image for two or three of our past leaders. Our government, our way of life, the people of the United States have lost prestige the world over. This must be due to the incompetence of our State Department and the impractical regulations of our civil service. Senator Goldwater's opponents, both Democratic and Republican, have accused him of being ultra-conservative and an extremist. The only extremist attitude our candidate, Senator Goldwater, has shown is that he'll take an extremely careful look at the problems of which I've spoken. Because the Americans as people, and America as a nation, believe in extending a helping hand, believe in doing good, many politicians have used this emotion to advance causes to further their own bandwagons while refusing to accept the responsibility of good leadership. I would like a leader for a change who is moderate enough. I use the word moderate because conservative has been so much abused. I would like a leader moderate enough to use care and judgment to protect the future of my country. One of the leaders of the Republican opposition to Senator Goldwater said recently, "This primary is a contest not between personalities, but between distinct ideologies." I agree. I don't claim to be a pundit, but I would like to analyze these differences. Do we want their ideology that urges a continuing no-win government, intellectual complacency, and compulsory coalition governments forced on other countries, a policy that's lost the free world China, Korea, Tibet, Laos, Cuba, East Berlin, Hungary, name more of them, by inaction and compromise? Do we want a continuing government so hesitant that our allies have neither certainty nor respect for our foreign policy? Or should we not choose a man to spearhead a new government that will want a peace as General MacArthur spoke of it? A peace with self-respect, a peace with self-reliance, a peace with preparedness, not a peace at any price. Do we want a president of proven character? A man of moral integrity who is not running a popularity contest, who will not be frightened by rabble-rousing political self-seekers, nor be frightened by the slanted press and columnists who belong to the tired old new frontier. A man who will look to his and to our nation's conscience in making his decisions. And most of all, a man who will make decisions and back them up with the will and power of the people of these under his leadership, soon to be respected again, United States of America. Such a man is Barry Goldwater.
Folks, this is Walter Brennan. I guess Amos McCoy to most of you. But I got a message from my family to yours. This year, we must concentrate on electing men who truly believe in running our government according to God's will and according to our tried and true Constitution. No matter what your political or your religious beliefs is, I'm certain that you'll find that Senator Barry Goldwater is our best and only choice. Now, he alone has the courage to stand for these principles, above all else, and his record proves it. You know, we're hearing a lot of talk nowadays about the danger of war. Well, I'm concerned about the danger of war, and I've been around long enough to remember all the wars we've had since the turn of the century. Now, here's something to think about. The Republican leaders didn't start none of them. Every war we've been in was begun when the Democrats was in office. And what's more, every Democrat president since 1900 has had a war. And none of the Republican presidents started a war, even though they've been in control more than, well, more than half the time. Now, you just look at the record. You'll see that appeasement and fear and disarmament have taken place before every war. You'll also find that Barry Goldwater won't allow none of these dangerous policies. He knows the cowardly communists won't tackle us if we stand firm and start backing down. Little time spent now in comparing the empty promises and broken pledges of socialist politicians with a competent and sensible program of Senator Goldwater will really open your eyes, folks. So won't you join us now in our grassroots campaign to elect Barry Goldwater, our next president?
I'm Ephraim Zimbalist, Jr. I'm for Barry Goldwater because I think he's the only man who makes sense on a national scale in this country today. He's the only man equipped to deal with the world problems and the only man of the caliber to deal with them. The only man who has the imagination to see us through this troubled time that we're in. He's, in my mind, superior to every other candidate in the picture. And I just don't think there's anyone who can touch this great American.
Dr. McBurney. As a minister of the gospel, it is my conviction that the most rational voice being heard in America today is that of Barry Goldwater.
Hello, everybody. I'm Hedda Hopper. I'd just like to tell you that I'm 100% for Barry Goldwater for president. I think he's a great man. I think he'd be a great addition to our nation, and I'm just appalled at the horrible things that people have been saying about him. I've never known such a snow job on anybody in my life. It's perfectly dreadful when we should be united, when we need an honest, true man more than we ever did in our whole lives. We need him now. With the world falling apart, with wars everywhere, we're supposed to have peace in the world. We have nothing but wars. The national debt is going up. They seem to think that money grows on trees the way they spend it. This man knows the value of money. He's worked for his money, as we all have. So please vote for Barry Goldwater, a great man, a great American, and he'll be a fine president.
This is Senator Tower, and I'm very affirmatively for Barry Goldwater.
Robert Stack, what do you think of Barry Goldwater?
I think that he's not only the most logical man for a presidential candidate, but I have every hope that he will be our next president. I think that his critics have accused him of oversimplification, whereas I think that he gets back to the basics that have made America great. Of course, you can always use sophistry and complicate and all, but I think he's a great American, and I just hope he makes the presidency.
My name is Philip Hahn, and I certainly was impressed with Mr. Goldwater's speech tonight, especially the race question, because he stated that it is something that should be settled from within ourselves, from within the heart, rather than as a revolution. And I think that was a great statement, because we should understand each other as fellow men rather than, say, one race against another.
I'm interviewing Mr. Jack Kramer, famous tennis star.
I'm Jack Kramer, and I sincerely believe that Barry Goldwater is the best candidate that the American people can put in the White House at this particular time. I certainly hope he gets elected.
Hello, I'm John Payne, speaking out for Senator Barry Goldwater. Pay close attention to what he says, not what is said about him. The First World War, the Second World War, the Korean War, and the present war in Vietnam and Laos all took place and are taking place under Democratic administrations. Goldwater's fact-finding and strength offers a better chance for peace than Democratic, socialistic, umbrella statesmanship, which is, in truth, appeasement.
This is Corinne Griffith. I'm definitely for Senator Barry Goldwater for President of our United States, because Senator Goldwater's for the little man and woman who are paying 70% of the individual federal income taxes these days. I've worked since I was 15 years old, and I know what it means to have it taken out of the pay envelope. Governor Nelson Rockefeller is against doing anything about it because the Rockefeller Fund and the Rockefeller Brothers Fund have $784 million tax-free. But Senator Goldwater is a states' writer and a fine American, and we must elect that type of man for our president.
This is Joe Shell speaking. I'm for Barry Goldwater. I have been for a long time. He represents the type of government that I want, a government decentralized from Washington. And not only does he say this is what he believes in, but this is what he has demonstrated by all of his actions in the Senate for the last 12 years. Well, Goldwater has already proven his mettle as a conservative and his ability to carry these things out.
My name is Randolph Scott. I can tell you why I'm a Goldwater fan. Because I'm a conservative and a constitutionalist. I like Goldwater for the following reasons. He's a conservative and a constitutionalist.
He believes in sound fiscal affairs, a prudent government. He believes in a strong foreign policy. And he also believes that the purpose of the Constitution is such it was never intended to protect one who would destroy it. That's why I'm a Goldwater fan, among many reasons.
I'm White Bear, member of the Hopi tribe. I knew Barry very well. And he stood for the right of the Marari people as a member of the American Indian tribe. I know he has quite a consideration for our members of our tribe, for what he have done, and I know he will carry on the same responsibility as for humanity and not look down upon as a tribe or of the nation who are in minority race.
The Honorable Donald Jackson.
You want an endorsement?
Right.
Well, you've really got one. I think that this is the chance for the people to get an original instead of a carbon copy and a voice instead of an echo. I hope very much for the sake of the entire country and the entire world that he comes through to a win.
Ronald Reagan, what's your opinion of Barry Goldwater?
Senator Goldwater has struck a responsive chord in people's hearts and is a political phenomenon that we have not seen in this century. Because here is a man who did not set out to seek high office, but found that because he said what American people were wanting to hear and what they believed, they put him into this position. And I believe that he is sounding a call to America's conscience to come back to the to basic standards, to principles of morality and rightness, and to leave the evil road of expediency. And I think that he's the best hope we have for the preservation of freedom here and in the world.
This is Archie Moore. I am for Mr. Goldwater because I think he is a very fine man, would be a very fine candidate for the presidency of the United States. I believe that Mr. Goldwater can see eye to eye with the colored people about civil rights and will see that they get their civil rights.
I will now introduce with great honor Senator Barry Goldwater.
Thank you, fellow Republicans, and I suspect a few Democrats. Lord knows you have no other place to go these days. We have the civil rights measure before the Senate now. I've made it perfectly clear problems of discrimination are not confined to the Negro and the white. But it's extended over the Negro and the Negro, the white and the white, the man who will not accept a Catholic as a friend, who will not accept the Jew as a friend. All of these people come under the classification of discrimination, which this problem really is. And in my opinion, it was God's plan that when discrimination ends in this world, there then can be peace, and not until that time. I think it's mankind's greatest problem. We are not the only country in this world, and we're certainly not the only country that has the problem of segregation or the problem of integration or the problem of discrimination. It extends all over this world. In fact, in the heart of Africa, you'll find it practiced much more blatantly than you'll ever find it practiced any place in our country. So let's stand up and defend ourselves on that. But at the same time, think of how you can end it. Ask yourselves at night before you go to bed, have I used the word hate today? Have I said, I hate this man or I hate this woman? And if you admit to yourselves that you have, then promise yourself that you won't do it tomorrow. If you say to yourself at night, you admit to yourself that you have acted in a prejudiced way against a Jew or a Catholic or a Baptist or any religion because it didn't happen to coincide exactly with your thinking, or you acted in a way that was improper towards a Negro or towards another white or towards a Mexican or anybody because of his race, creed, or color, promise not to do it tomorrow. And I think if we'll do this, if young people will take up this challenge, if we older people will do it and do it consciously, I think we can get this thing whipped. But we're never going to whip it by depending on somebody else to do it. It has to be done by each single one of us and only through our hearts. And please, if I can leave anything at this short meeting before the big one, I'd like to leave this idea that this is a challenge put to you, not by your government, not by anybody, but just by you. And you can solve it if you yourself will become a light that other people can look to and say, he's living happily because he dislikes no one. He treats everybody alike. He's fair and he's square and he's not prejudiced. That to me is the way to end it.